It's all coming up. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it is top of the week, top of the morning. Already 8:13. I meant to be getting out of bed about 6 o'clock this morning. Didn't happen. It's Monday, February 20th. 8:14 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I guess it's early on the West Coast. It's not a live show today, but the first thing, right off the bat, I had a live show on Friday. I had a caller, a young man called in. And, I see that my phone is somehow, let's cancel that. There we go. Anyway, I think my cat has been over in here doing some recording, apparently over the weekend, and pushing some buttons, apparently. I had a live show this last Friday, and had a caller right at the end, near the end of the show, and took a call from a fellow young man named John, who has his own show. And right off the bat, if he hears this program this morning, I want to make sure that he knows that he wanted me to listen to his show afterwards. And the name of his show is called Time to Talk Christian. I think he just has various subjects about Christianity and how, Christian perspective on all those things. I don't know. I've never heard his show. I was going to listen to his show right after I got off my thing. What I should have had him do is put a link to the show in the chat box in there. I don't know how to go back and look at the chat once the show is over. Once the live show is over, I cannot find any way to navigate back to where what the previous chat session was. There's no way to see that. Otherwise, I could probably direct message him maybe through the Podbean system or something. I don't know. But I can't find his show anywhere. I've done a search for it, Google search, all kinds of search, DuckDuckGo search. I have tried to search for it on Podbean. It does not come up. I have no idea how to get to his show. I was going to listen to it after I did my show. He does a live show as well. And I couldn't find it. So I don't know if he's listening. If there's any way to, in fact, if anybody wants to list to get in touch with me, send me an email. I want to start opening up this email, I think, for this purpose for now. There's an email that you can send email to. It is epicvideoaboutnothing@gmail.com. So just epic, E-P-I-C, video, V-I-D-E-O, aboutnothing@gmail.com. So epicvideoaboutnothing@gmail.com. I don't have one yet called The News According to Me at Gmail. I probably should look into that before I talk about it on the air, so that somebody else doesn't take it and then try to sell it to me. That has happened before, by the way. Came up with a couple ideas for. I had another business. And this Christian guy who was in charge of a major ministry. If I told you the name of the ministry, I'm sure everyone would have heard of it. I was in contact with this guy through something else, another project I was working on. And I happened to tell him about the business I was in. This is back when I had a little manufacturing business that I had tried to start back in 2006 and 2005, actually. And the next thing I know, this was probably 2008, right at the beginning of 2008. This is when things were starting to crumble in the economy. And this guy had the gall to take my business name and go on and register a whole bunch of different possibilities for websites. About 25 or 30 of them. He said, "Hey, if you want to use any of these, I have these. You can buy them from me for $200. "Well, that's really kind of you. Thank you for doing that. I didn't buy a single one of them. I did tell him initially. I told him, "Yeah, I'll think about it." That way, he would continue to pay for the registration fees, because you can't just do that for free. know, you go out to register a name, it's going to cost you some bucks. He might have had a service where he was registering somehow through Who Is or whatever. I don't know what he was doing, but he somehow did it. Got my names. Anyway, John, this is, you know, just if hopefully John gets this, hears this, that I was trying to get to his podcast over the last Friday and I couldn't get to it. So maybe he can get in touch with me. epicvideoaboutnothing@gmail.com right now. If anybody wants to email, send a comment in. That's the way you can do it. For those of you who know me personally, you can text me and just make a comment, which some people do. It's usually some comment. Just a kind of a wise comment, you know, just like a little silly comment, I guess I should say. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll mention something about something I said, some stupid thing I said. take your pick. There's some multiple things I say that, because I'm not an English teacher. I'm also not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a financial counselor, epidemiologist, life coach, any of those things. So you're just listening to, you know, basically you're just hearing my opinions, and then you can do whatever you want to with them. You can do the opposite if you want. I don't care. And maybe, you know. And now this morning I'm going to tell you what's in my cup. So I have in my cup a cup of chai, my vanilla chai, Pacific Island vanilla chai. But now this morning, I'm thinking that I might have something better out there in the refrigerator to turn to, like a, you know, Almond Joy creamer or something like that. But no, I have this generic vanilla creamer in my cup this morning. But I do have a backup cup. I have, this vanilla creamer is actually something that's supposed to be good for you. It's like an all natural, no GMO, no, you know, the cows are happy. They're living in a land of dairy perfectness. I don't know. They just frolic around in the grass, you know, green grass, alfalfa fields all day long. I don't know what they do. Sounds like they're having a better life than me. I don't know. But I'm drinking their milk, by golly. I have, and they don't even know it. That's the weird thing about it. They have no idea. All these people that they're, it's kind of like life, you know, you have no idea how many, you know, the things that you produce, you have no idea who that touches. It's like this podcast. I have no idea how many people listen to this and then get repelled, go off and do something more productive with their life. I have, in my second cup, I have a little cup of, it's actually not a little cup. It's a pretty good sized cup. It's actually like about it's probably a 24 ounce cup. And it's, I would turn it upside down and see what it says on the bottom of it, how many ounces it is. But it would be a 0 ounce cup at that point. And someone would have to clean up the mess. Not going to be me, obviously. But I have, it's my little cup here. It's a little, one of those little stainless insulated cups with a little flippy top thing on it. So it doesn't really spill too easily. But it's got sweet tea, my own homemade sweet tea, which I had to make some more over the weekend, by the way. I made a gallon of it last week, and I had to make another gallon for the weekend. And I have peach mango V8 Fusion in there. It's a kind of a blend of things. It's pretty good stuff. Especially in the morning, it's kind of nice, kind of refreshing. In the meantime, I'm drinking my chai. Till that runs out, I'll be savoring the chai until I get to the, just so you know. A few things we want to talk about this morning. There are some things that are interesting things heating up. And now, one of the barometers that I look at sometimes is I look at what's happening with the news headlines on YouTube. And here is, there's always a smattering the MSNBC recently has started, when they start attacking the you know, Fox News and other news outlets, and they start to go after them about their about what they're reporting on, you know that there's a problem. There's a serious problem. Now, and here's where it gets interesting. They're starting to go after the two things at the same time. One is the Hunter Biden story. Now, I don't know if you've heard recently what we'll talk about what Joe's up to lately. Joe made a surprise visit to Ukraine, I guess. He went to Ukraine. You know, they're at war with Russia. So it seems like a good time for Joe to go to Ukraine. I'm sure the Secret Service has no problem with that. You know Russia has to know where Zelensky is. This is what bothers me about some of this stuff. This guy's not in a bunker hiding somewhere. He's not. He's out walking around, and you can tell where he is in the video. Now, I don't think this video obviously wasn't. Obviously, he doesn't do it live. They would know exactly where he is, and they would just take him out. Probably, if Zelensky was to be taken out, I think it would be a major morale blow, anyway, to the people in Ukraine. It seems as if he's kind of the one who's the rallying cry guy there. Now, having said that, getting back to this other thing with the MSNBC. MSNBC, of course, the thing that I'll talk about that a little bit. But the thing that it is interesting about the MSNBC reporting right now is they're going after the Hunter Biden story. They're also going after the J6 Commission. And you'll see these headlines. I was going to take snapshots of like screenshots of all these headlines that MSNBC had over the weekend. I didn't do that because I'm lazy, just so you know. And what's happening is Fox News is reporting on this. What's happening behind the scenes. And in what's interesting about the whole story is that they're uncovering things. And while they're uncovering them, there are other individuals within the groups of people, like the Capitol Police, the people around the Hunter Biden story, some FBI agents, are starting to crumble. They're starting to jump ship, come out and tell the truth. And it's become very interesting, especially with regard to the J6 Commission. Now, I was going to look this up before I started the show, and I totally forgot. How many Capitol Police are there? Let's see how many there are. I think I'm thinking there's 1,300 of them, and I don't know if that's true or not. United States Capitol Police. Oh, I misspelled Capitol. That'd explain that. 1980s, they only have jurisdiction in Washington, D.C. 57, subject to mandatory retirement age. They have to retire at 57. Interesting. I wonder how old the one guy is who's been in the news so much lately. Oh, this guy's got more than 57. He's got to be. Yeah, I don't know. I can maybe have a mandatory retirement age now as a 1998. They got all these other guys. Let's see if they got anything recently from the January 6th Commission. I don't think they do. no, there's nothing on there. This is Wikipedia's information here. It doesn't say the numbers. Maybe it does over here in the side notes. Let's see if it's got. It could be here. Let's see here. We got Common Sense. U.S. Capitol Police, employees. There we go. 2,249 employees. Now, I think the actual number of officers is less than that. I think if for some reason I'm thinking that they had almost 1,400 like on-duty officers that were like the foot officers, the beat type guys. I think the rest of there's administrative staff and all this other stuff that they have as well. And I believe that they're all considered officers, I guess, but I think the actual foot soldiers, if you want to call them that. Yeah, there's 10 units, executive, yeah. Total of 2,249 as of whatever that reference is there, probably a couple of years. It's probably been a couple of years. So there's no, I had to click on that reference to find out. I'm not going to do it. Appropriations Committee, June of 2022. That was the last report. It was received August 1st, 2021. Yeah, possibly. Yeah. It might have been, I'm actually from the source, it might have been 2021. So, that number of police out there, and I think we heard from four of them on the January 6th Commission, and that's the only four they continue to parade around. Now, my understanding is the Capitol Police have a certain agreement. It's like a non-disclosure agreement, if you want to call it that. It's actually a hold something. I can't remember the name. Of course, again, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't tell you the actual name of the thing. But they are basically sworn to certain kinds of secrecy, much like the Secret Service. The reason you didn't hear the Secret Service ever get called upon to testify in front of anything during the Clinton administration. I mean, you know that the Secret Service had to have known what was going on. They're always around the president. President's in the Oval Office with an intern. You know someone knew what was going on there. It was kept quiet. You never heard any testimony from Secret Service agents. They will not call them in. These people are around him all the time. They hear his conversations. Now, Dan Bongino used to be a Secret Service agent during the Obama administration. I'm not sure when he started, when he ended. I think it seemed like he served during two different presidents, but I think he might have been like near the end of Bush and during the Obama administration. They are basically sworn to be nonpartisan and to be top secret. They don't, anything that they say about anything they see, they are basically sworn to not say anything. They are not compelled to testify in that regard either. They're protected under those. That kind of thing. Now, having said that, the Capitol Police, I believe, are very similarly, they have a very similar oath and protection, certain protection they have. Now, if Congress calls upon them to testify, they can deny, they can turn it down, but they can also volunteer for that. I'm not positive about all this. This is all speculation on my part. Call it conjecture or call it my understanding of the way it works for them. Now, there could be a whistleblower within Capitol Police that could go to a congressman. However, I don't believe that they are. I think that there'd be repercussions for them if they did that. They would have to step out as a Capitol Police officer if they did that. Now, the person who was in charge of the head officer, the chief of the Capitol Police, did resign shortly after January 6th and when the whole commission started to come into place. He resigned. And they appointed someone else in there. Now, this is very conspicuous. It seemed a little strange to me. Either he felt like he did something wrong, or he felt like he was being set up. I don't know which, or maybe he was asked to resign. Maybe someone failed, blamed it all on him. I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know why he resigned. It seemed like an odd time to resign, unless there was something going on internally or behind the scenes. He was never called before the January 6th Commission. Never. You would think he would have been. And maybe that was part of the issue. Because now we're finding out that there was communication between the Capitol Police. Now there were people, they just apparently started to release some of the video now that the Capitol building was trying to keep under wraps. There was hours and hours of video footage. That place has got surveillance cameras everywhere. And facial recognition software as well. That is incredibly high resolution, top of the line. They're not going down to Costco and getting their security system, camera systems. They've got the top of the line stuff. They can recognize people in a crowd live on demand. I mean, they can just type in a name and see if that person's in the crowd. They can see, you know, little facial boxes on everybody. This is usually in most airports that you see, especially bigger airports. You walk through security, they recognize who you are. They have you on a camera, and it's capturing faces, and it's using that data for facial recognition. Most people don't realize this. Now you got to show them your identification and all that stuff. They know who you are. Now, at smaller airports, that may not be the case. But even smaller airports now are starting to phase this kind of technology in because it's becoming more affordable. It's there. And it's not really the camera necessarily. It's not the camera itself. It's the software. It's very easy to, you can just literally, don't even have to physically send the software anywhere. It's just, all you have to do is send the video feed, or you can send the software via just a, you know, either over the internet, you can send the software. Just download it. So DHS has this stuff, and they're working with the TSA, the whole process of all this. And the technology is becoming a little bit creepy now. It's a point where they can not just look at your footprint of where you've been. They can look at the shadow of where you are. They know where you are at that moment, which again, getting back to the whole thing about Zelensky, I'm pretty sure that the Russians know where Zelensky is most of the time. But that's, you know, so if they know he's with the president, and you know that they have had to have known. I mean, there are certain things that have to be put into place for the president to go to Ukraine. It's almost like looking at things that aren't there. Like, well, there's a block in Biden's schedule here. We don't know where he's going. Oh, look, they're preparing for a dignitary over in Ukraine. I mean, they have people round the clock, you know, watching this guy to know where he is. I guarantee you. I guarantee you the United States knows exactly where Putin is all the time, or they think they do. However, they didn't know that, you know, that balloon was being launched. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we did. We saw it being launched from the pad. I told you. When this was early on, when Schumer was out there saying, we didn't even know they had these. We weren't even aware that this technology existed. It's very sophisticated. We're gaining a lot of insight. You know, oh, he looked at it straight in the camera, told us, oh, we're learning a lot about the way they maneuver this balloon and the way they're... Really? Their balloon technology is far outpacing ours. And this is always about money. Now we'll get into the... One of the other things I want to talk about is the whole Ohio thing with the train derailments and Pete Buttigieg and all everything that's going on there and why they're seemingly ignoring it. They're really not at all getting involved in it at all. Pete is out there more talking about, well, you know, it's because, you know, the racist train. They're blaming Trump for the derailment, by the way. They're continuing to blame him for that. And the whole story, the whole narrative now, and this is the whole, again, MSNBC is on top of this one, saying that Fox is using this as a political, you know, thing. At first, they came out and just blamed Trump altogether. Well, the brakes on the train. And of course, then they realized that was stupid. That got a lot of backflack. So now they're just saying, well, both sides are to blame. You see, here's the problem with this whole break thing. The legislation that Trump repealed, that was the regulations that would have forced trains to have those kinds of brakes on them. Joe Biden had 2 years to put that legislation into place if it was so important. He didn't do that. You know, day one, he took away stopped oil production and all kinds of other things. If it was so dangerous, he was so concerned about it, he could have easily put that legislation back into place. In fact, I might want to remind you, we had a $42 billion, $450, $400 billion, whatever it was, the stimulus, not the stimulus, this wasn't even the stimulus package, this was the infrastructure bill. It had nothing to do with infrastructure. Infrastructure. You would think for $42 billion or whatever it was, okay, well, it was more than that. I have to look this up because I know it was more than that. Yeah, let's use this one here. Why can't I find, why are all of my YouTube videos? There we go. Yeah, here we go. Oh, come on now. Here we go. All right. 2022 infrastructure bill. Yeah, let's see what we get with this. I think I misspelled infrastructure. It's got to be in one of the titles here. It's got to be. It ended up being $450 billion. And it's actually it's estimated that it will probably, with overruns and everything else that's going to happen, it's going to end up being about $1.2 trillion. Now, so all this money being spent. Now, here's their plan. Their plan is always to, never let a crisis go to waste. They see this as a major political pawn in their little hat. We can use this disaster to get more money. We can use this disaster to blame our political opponents. We can get political clout from this. We don't have to do a thing. We don't have to lift a finger. Pete Buttigieg can do whatever he wants to do. This guy's completely incompetent when it comes to being transportation secretary. He has no business being in that business. He was a mayor of a city that had all kinds of problems infrastructure-wise and transportation-wise. This was a guy who spent more money on a city putting in roundabouts and ticking more people off. And to this day, you drive around South Bend. And South Bend, of course, it looks like any other liberal city right now. You drive downtown, especially in the summertime. I can't remember the last time I drove through downtown. Now, I was downtown over the weekend. I was actually down there on Saturday evening. But it was around the Notre Dame area. I wasn't really downtown South Bend. Notre Dame area is pretty well kept. They do a pretty good job of it's actually its own town. It has its own post office. It has its own zip code. They have their own police department. So it's really not South Bend. And so, but I was in that area, and right just out off the campus property there, there's some restaurants in that area. And we met with some friends over there. And so we weren't downtown. So that area is pretty clean and pretty straightforward. However, there is there's a liberal mindset there in a big way. It's very obvious just in the kind of people that are walking around. it becomes very clear. That you're in fact, I was recently, yesterday I was at Costco. Usually make a trip over there once a week or so. Fill up the cars and get toilet paper, buy the bulk, Whatever we get. We just buy bulk stuff that we get over there. Plus, just always got deals on something. I actually have pretty decent clothes over there. Pretty good prices on clothes. Some of the electronics are pretty good priced as well. So anyway, we get over there, and the whole time, and usually, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. This is the brilliance of the marketing of these places like Sam's Club and all this stuff. When you walk into a place and someone else walks in at the same time and they're just in there doing their general shopping, you will find that the same people tend to be around you all the time. You'll be walking around, oh, there's the people we walked in with. Oh, there they are again. Oh, here, now they're down this aisle. Oh, there they are again. Oh, here, now they're over there. You walk around the entire and then when you go to check out, guess who's there beside you? Same people you walked in with. I can't tell you how many times, this happens probably 80% of the time with people you walk in. Look around, next time you walk into a big store like that, and there's a lot of people, and it's a busy day, look around how many people around you, at the people around you, and see how many of them you see on the way out. It's a science. Marketing is a science that they have down to a T. Now, the process, with this one couple that was there, I don't know if they were, I guess they were a couple, anyway. The one guy was wearing these pants. They were like parachute pants almost, like back what people used to wear in the 80s. I don't know if he was on a motorcycle. I'm not sure what was going on there. He was a little bit, he wasn't very old. These guys, they were both in their 20s. This couple was in their 20s. And he did not look healthy. He looked very out of shape. He wasn't obese. I wouldn't say he was obese. But he was certainly not healthy. And the young lady he was with, I don't know. She couldn't really tell whether she was healthy or not. All I could tell was they were both wearing weird clothes, but she had like a hood on, like a little jacket with a hood on. She had her hood on the whole time, but you could tell she had blue hair, like very, very blue hair, not the light kind of frosty kind of blonde blue hair. It was more, she could tell her hair was normally dark hair, but she had, cause you could see the roots, they were out about an inch. It was like a bright blue, almost like a royal blue color. And they were both wearing masks, of course. Of course they were. They were the only people in the store. There was one other fellow I saw wearing a mask. They were both wearing masks. And now maybe they had other reasons for wearing the mask. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to be facially recognized. You know, this is a convenient way to get around the whole facial thing. If you're trying to walk around in public and not be recognized. However, that it is some of the technology that they have now, believe it or not, is fully capable of doing retinal scans from long distances. So even if they can see your eyes, they can get the retinal scan. That stuff is, they can actually do that from long distances with the high-res cameras they have now available. Now, I'm sure they don't have those in Costco. But around the Capitol, I bet they do. So this is something that I'm sure happens. So the one lady, the one gal I was telling you about, so they both have masks on. And of course, the blue-haired lady, she didn't look like the typical blue-haired gal that you would normally see. There are plenty of other people there who had blue hair, but they were the typical, what you would expect. And then this lady had, she had this mask on, and it was the rainbow mask, of course. She wearing a rainbow mask, okay. But it's just the whole thing. Well, then my wife was in this one little, how they got these little alcoves where they have all the dairy in this one cooling area. So they have milk and eggs and stuff, which they didn't have any hard-boiled eggs, I believe it or not. They were all sold out of hard-boiled eggs. And so they ended up getting she walked into this one little place and she was looking for stuff. And of course, my wife is kind of she gets on task. She just, it's kind of like, everybody out of my way. Here I come. I'm doing my job. I'm doing my thing. I got a mission I'm on. She was doing her mission. And this other lady who was kind of stammering around, and she was with two other guys that obviously were also, let's just say we'll be paying for their health care at some point soon, I'm sure. I'm sure they want free health care, and they are not doing anything to take care of themselves. She was freaking out. She said, I need my personal space. I need personal space here. Kind of weird, considering you're walking around in a crowded, take the most, you find the most crowded time of the day and the most crowded day at Costco, Sunday afternoon. When the parking lot's packed. You need personal space, and that's the day you decide to go to Costco. That's a great idea. Because I'll guarantee you, this lady did not look like she was gainfully employed by any means, nor the people who she was with. Maybe they are. I don't know. They certainly didn't look like it. Can't imagine what they would be doing. So we have the. I know I'm being mean today. I'm snippy today. I'm snippy with people. So we ended up. I don't know what snippy means. I should probably look that up. All right, you talked me into it. I'm looking up the meaning of the word snippy. Let's see what we find here. I'm not gonna look there. I'm gonna look up here. I'm not gonna look on Wikipedia. All right, what does snippy mean? We'll see what we find here. Snippy, it's an adjective. Sharp tongued. Impertinent. Impertinent. Occurring in pieces, fragmentary. Let's see if we can find an example. Snippy definition meaning. Let's go to Merriam-Webster and see what snippy means. Being snippy, short-tempered, snappish, unduly brief or curt, putting on airs, sniffy, snippily. Examples. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get snippy with you. Snippy remarks about quality of food, the church picnic. There you go. Oh, there you go. So Danny and Tess and Clooney and Roberts have to generate enough heat to chemistry, but it's underneath the snippy surface. Justify, I don't care. So there you go. So there you go. I'm snippy today. Snippy. I call it snippy. I wonder if there's a difference. You spell it with a CH. Probably not. All right, that's enough of that. That's your English language, English lesson for the day. Let's see if I can find. Hey, I wonder where my package is. Let's see if I can find my package here while we're at it. Not that I'm getting sidetracked here by anything, by any means. Let's see what we have here. Still says it's on the way. It'll appear tomorrow. It's not even out. It's not even. Labels created on the way. And it doesn't say any more than that. Very interesting. Yeah, I don't know. That just doesn't make sense. I don't think they probably haven't even got it in the truck yet. All right. So the interestingly enough, MSNBC now is coming out. So we have these people jumping ship. Getting back to my whole subject here on the show. And so we've got Capitol Police officers out there. They're, with that many Capitol Police officers, and only four of them basically have been testifying and been paraded around in front of, especially the one guy with the tattoos and the. He wears the big uniform and has the beard. Looks like he came out, looks like he walked off the street from a biker gang. And he's just, he's up there all the time. Gets to sit down next to Sean Penn. And they got the J6. He's been at all of the hearings. Been right up front there in all the hearings. Much like Officer Sicknick, if you remember Officer Sicknick, who was a Trump supporter, by the way, who was laid in state under the guise of being beaten with a fire extinguisher, was killed, on January 6th. He wasn't killed on January 6th. He died a couple days later from natural causes, according to the coroner. But they laid him in state. This was Nancy Pelosi's idea. This is, in my opinion, the most despicable thing. One of the most despicable things Nancy Pelosi has ever done. But this is what's happening right now. We got the, we've got some heat being generated, and this is what's popping up all over the place now. All of a sudden, people understand that they're going to get in trouble now. Along with all this other stuff, all of a sudden, people concerning the Hunter Biden laptop. Crossfire Hurricane, the surveillance, if you want to call it that, and spying and investigation into Donald Trump with the whole Russiagate issue is now popping up as well. All this stuff's boiling up now all of a sudden. People are jumping off the ship. Well, that wasn't me. I wasn't a part of that. There are all these whistleblowers and everything else that's happening right now. And, of course, they're not covering it. The way the MSNBC and CNN folks are doing it now, CNN actually has come out with some stuff. They're actually kind of reporting some things here. And people like Andrea Mitchell and some others are actually coming out with information. They're actually starting to treat like an interesting comment. But I think it was Andrea Mitchell that was interviewing Kamala Harris the other day. And she asked her, she said, so you guys are not very popular right now. I said, the president's not very popular and you're even less popular in the polls because people are bringing up issues of Joe Biden's cognitive issues and other things and other, what was it called? Abnormalities. I think she used the word abnormalities. She kind of breezed through it really quickly, but it's there, his cognitive skills and other abnormalities. And of course, Kamala she very calmly just kept on going with it. Well, you know, if he decides to run, I want to be there with him. Now, she knows full well this guy's not going to run again. The interesting, and this is what blows my mind here now, too. This is very interesting to me. Why they would be so scared. See, the first time around in 2016, they wanted Trump to run because they thought Hillary this is a shoe-in. Nobody's going to vote for Donald Trump. He's a clown. So they kind of pushed the idea. Thought it was fun that, you know, Donald Trump was running. And then he beat her. Well, now all of a sudden, Joe Biden wins by millions of votes. Millions. More votes than anyone has ever had ever in their life. Even though Donald Trump got more Republican votes. Or I should say more votes than any other Republican ever in the history of this country. And Joe Biden outdid him by millions of votes. 81 million man. I don't think they can pull it off again. They had a very unique situation. They had all these emergency powers to do all this stuff with all the ballots. And I think they outdid themselves. I think they outdid their own expectations with all the ballot harvesting and all the mail-in ballots and all the stuff that they sent out there. They flushed. I don't think they thought they were going to win. I think they outdid themselves to the point where it was almost obvious. Then they had to turn around and say, this is the most perfect election ever. They have people admitting and going to jail for fraud, and they'll still turn around and say there was no evidence of fraud. Widespread fraud, they'll always say. Widespread fraud. Even though that's exactly what happened. Now, I haven't seen 2,000 Mules yet, and I do have a friend of mine who has the video. He purchased the video. And I believe he's going to let me watch it. I'm mostly concerned about watching it because I've seen the reaction of some people who've seen this thing and they go nuts. They get furious, and I'm afraid I'm going to be furious. And I know that the fellow I talked to, he said he's watched it three times and he just starts shaking physically when he watches it. He's so mad about it. And I'm afraid I'm going to do the same thing. So. And it's more about the reaction right now that's happening with the left. They're afraid of Trump winning. Why would you, someone that you supposedly so legitimately trounced, and who supposedly is, now here's some weird stuff that's going on. George Soros. They're claiming that George Soros is endorsing Ron DeSantis. He's not. Listen to the audio of George Soros and what he says. He's not endorsing Santos at all. He's trying to pit DeSantis against Trump. That's what he's trying to do. What did I say, Santos? I don't know what I said. DeSantis. He's trying to pit the two against each other. He's coming out and saying, "Well, Trump has, you know, he's gone off the rails and he's losing some steam and he's all this and this." People don't know. Donations are down. Going all about this, how Trump can't win. He's mentally losing it. He's off the rails and no, he's not. He's not at all. This is what they want to. This is the way the enemy always does this. They like to isolate you. They like to make you think that, oh, you're failing. You're not doing well. You're all alone. You're the only one. Everybody else, you're the oddball. There's no hope for you to win. Just give up. Roll over. It's done. No use fighting anymore. This is what happened in Afghanistan. Just give up, roll over, run for your lives. Let the Taliban take back over again. This did not happen in Ukraine, which I think is why it was easy for the politicians to rally everyone behind them. Oh, look, they're fighting back. We need to stand behind them, throw billions of dollars. The president's going to go over there and promise more aid to them. We have railroads here that aren't apparently in good shape. We got the money to spend. Our board. Oh, by the way, Mayorkas recently was saying how he was being grilled over the weekend about, have you lost control of the border? No, we have operational control of the border. So then he dug down on that. I was kind of surprised. I think it was Chris Wallace actually was the one that was doing it, which I was surprised. Was actually digging down a little deeper on this. He goes, "What you're saying that the border's under control? We have operational control." Well, it depends on what you mean by control of the border. By definition, if one person gets across the border and you know, that means we don't have control of the border by definition. But we have operational control. All that means is that if you've got 50 officers, you have control of those 50 officers. We have operational control. That's how he, see, they always want to twist the definitions of things. Like they twist the definition of a vaccine. They twist the definition of a pandemic. They twist the definition of school board parents. Twist the definition of a recession, inflation, whatever it is. Well, it's core inflation. It's not you know, all inflation. Oh, because we only pay for the core. We don't pay for the other stuff. We don't pay for gas and food. We just pay for the core stuff. That's all that affects our pocketbook is the core. That's all we care about. It's like an airline who says, we had on-time departures all day long. We were late showing up everywhere we went, but we had all on-time departures. People don't care about what time they leave. They don't care if you leave late. They don't care if you leave 10 minutes late or 20 minutes later, an hour late, if you show up on time. That's really what they care about. They should say, we had 100% of our day today. We arrived at the gate on time when we were supposed to. Well, good for you. So here's the problem. People have tight connections. Let's say I'm going to Chicago and my flight leaves the gate on time, but it shows up late. And my next flight is in 50 minutes, but I showed up 45 minutes late. Oh, at least they got that flight out on time. Boy, I'm really glad that my next flight got out on time. Now I'm stuck here, but I feel good for the airline for them, for their sake. That's the kind of mentality we have in this world. That's always baffled me. Well, we can't control, you know, the weather and all of those. Oh, you had no idea what the weather was doing. You're just flying through it. You had no idea the operational demands of that day when, you know, it's Thanksgiving and everybody's traveling. Yeah, It's just, it's bizarre stuff, folks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here this week and what happens continued. Over the next couple of weeks are going to be very telling. Now, speaking of the next couple of weeks, I do have every morning, except actually this Friday morning is going to be a little bit difficult to do a live show. Now, the live show this Friday morning will actually be probably be a little bit late. I have an appointment around 7:30 on Friday morning that I have to be at. I'm hoping to get a live show in by 10 o'clock, by the way. But speaking of my live show, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the show as well. It probably is going to be late, mid to late morning on Friday by the time I actually am able to get a show in on Friday morning. That's my hope. I do have a lot of other things to do to get done on Friday, so I'll try to get all those things done. But I do have this meeting over in South Bend at 7:30. So I will probably not be able to get up early enough to do an early show. I may end up having to do a recorded show. I really don't want to do that. But probably it's going to be a live show, but it'll be a little bit later in the day. So I'm trying, and it's probably going to be from the worldwide headquarters as well. So that's just to let you know what's happening there. So once again, folks, keep an eye on what's happening, especially how the enemy is reacting. When they stop reporting the news and they start making their competition the news, and they start saying, oh, this narrative. For a while, they were going after Tucker Carlson and I think it was Sean Hannity and some other people who had some internal, because of Discovery, they found out what some of the internal text messages were that were flying back and forth around right after the election. And within hours after the election, days after the election. And they're saying that, well, even they didn't believe their own hoax story about the election stuff. That's not, they keep twisting the truth on this stuff. And they're going on about this whole thing about how Sean Hannity lied and there's going to be a lawsuit. There's going to be all the stuff that they say, it never happens. They have been saying for 6 years now that the walls are closing in on Donald Trump. They keep salivating over this idea that they're going to see Donald Trump perp walked. I think the closest thing that they got to so far is the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which now we're finding out was an absolute atrocity. And now they're going after the lawyers. Now, Mark Levin had a really good piece on Sunday night about the corruption clause or whatever it is. If someone is using legal counsel to avoid something, that the lawyer can actually be brought into that that situation. You have to listen to Levin talk about it because he's the lawyer, he's the legal guy. Basically, what they're doing is they're trying to make it just a normal thing for them to be able to pierce the client, the confidential client lawyer legal confidentiality clauses that are there and the protections of, and they're going after the lawyers. They're trying to convict the lawyers of things now. Of course, now this is all part of a strategy to, they're not giving Donald Trump any presumption of innocence whatsoever. So if you go anywhere near this guy, if you go anywhere near Trump, if you're one of his lawyers, you apparently are part of the seedy industry that needs to be needs to be gone after. You need to be sued, need to be prosecuted, disbarred. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're going after Trump's lawyers now. And this whole thing is dangerous, to say the least. Now, if you remember back when, during the Obama administration, when all the stuff was going, Lois Lerner, all the stuff that was happening with the IRS and everything, the IRS being weaponized, they called her before. Nothing ever happened to any of these people. The Obama's attorney general, who was called before Congress, had a subpoena to go before Congress, contemptibly refused to go. Nope, not going. Nothing ever happened to him. Nothing. Eric Holder was never held accountable for the gun-running scam that went on where an officer was killed. A border officer was killed with the Fast and Furious operation that went on down there with the drug, with the gun smuggling operation that was meant to go apt to vilify guns. They were going to use it as a tool to get gun control. This, and you wonder why people have conspiracies about this stuff whenever there's a mass shooting. And they were never held to accountability. They were never even called in for questioning. Oh, they were called in for questioning. They didn't show up. Nothing ever happened to them. Talk about obstruction. That's obstruction of justice. Having an argument about whether or not you can maintain security of some documents on a property is not obstruction of justice. Where's the justice in that? A man died. That needs justice. And nothing. No one was ever charged in his murder. No one was ever held accountable for selling the murderer his gun. Actually giving the murderer his gun. There's no sales involved whatsoever. Nothing. And if you think Merrick Garland is going to be a nonpartisan participant, the one who came out and said, I've got audio after audio of him saying, no one is above the law. No one is above the law. In fact, I probably have it right here somewhere. I'll take a look here and see if I can find it. Oh, it's not going to be on that page. See if it's, where are we at here? Let's see if we can find this thing. Oh, by golly, there's no, it's got to be over here. Oh, we'll see if we can find it. It has got to be, record player. This is record player. No, that's not it. Podcast sound bites. Yeah, I don't see it here. Today's show sound bites. Pelosi, Mitch McConnell. No, none of those are. Yeah. It's in here somewhere, but I could probably find it if I looked around long enough. Because I'm sure I have it somewhere. Audio files. Here we go. No, that's not it. Bill Gates, Joe Biden. Fauci. Crowd. Off-road. Nope, I don't have it. Don't have it here. I've got it in my folder here somewhere, but I'm sure I could find it. But he's basically saying, Garland is basically saying that no one is above the law. And of course, when they say no one, they just mean Trump. They don't mean Biden. I mean, anybody on their side is above the law. All those people are above the law. Lots of interesting things popping around right now. We'll see what happens here. I think one of the reasons Joe went overseas, of course, the whole reason they were shooting down these little $12 balloons, these project balloons with missiles that cost, you know, who knows how much. Of course, some reports have been $400,000 missiles shoot these things down. So they, interestingly enough, you know that it was just to make Joe look tough. Well, we looked pretty bad on that first one. We better shoot these others down before they get here. It was all politically motivated. Everything they do is politically motivated, and it all has a racial or some kind of sexual orientation motive behind it. That's everything that they do. And one of the things that Mayorkas even said about the border being, well, we didn't feel that the previous administration reflected the values that we hold dear. It's not about reflecting our values, sir. Our laws reflect our values, and you need to uphold the law. What you perceive to be values have nothing to do with the law which was put into place because of our values. These are the laws, and you, sir, are charged with upholding the law. That's the oath you took. I swear to uphold the values that we hold dear. No, you didn't do that. I swear to uphold the Constitution, which all of the laws are built on. If they're not, then they are challenged in the Supreme Court and they are thrown out. That is our filter. But you decided the values that we hold dear. No, it's about breaking the law, sir, and that's what you were doing. I'm not going to resign. I'm not going to resign. No, I'm not going to resign. That's just the way, that's what we got. It's what we have to deal with right now. So in the process of all of this, all the things that are happening around us, we need to keep a sharp eye on what is happening around us and a sharper eye on what God is doing and saying. In fact, speaking of which, I want to bring up the Asbury Revival. We've seen these kinds of things throughout time. Throughout my lifetime, I've seen several times where there's been this. And the scripture that I'm always reminded of. In fact, I'm just going to talk about this for a second. The scripture I'm always reminded of is, "Oh, God is here. God is there. Go here. Go there. He's over here now." And Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is within you." Now, I've heard of some other revivals breaking out now around the country. There was a fellow by the name of Todd, I'm not going to mention his last name, down in Florida recently. This is one of the bigger ones, sort of big revival that was happening down there. A buddy of mine grabbed me and said, "Hey, I'm taking you down there. I want to see what your opinion of this thing is." He paid for my flight down there. Took me down there. I walked in the room. And when I walked in the room, they were asking for money. This was probably one of the first turnoffs I had right off the bat. And they pulled a scripture out of the Old Testament and they were talking about this whole thing, and this was their justification for asking for funds. And I looked at the scripture before that and the scripture behind that, everything that they were saying, and it was completely out of context, which it always tends to bother me. And I was trying to maintain an open mind about everything that was going on. There was someone in our group that had a shoulder problem. They went forward, got prayed for, came back and said, "Oh, I can move my shoulder now." Well, that's great. Next day I said, "How's your shoulder?" "Oh, it's hurting again." You don't think it was just the hype of the moment? So I don't know, maybe God just didn't know what he was doing there. Just gave you healing for the night, that one evening. I'm sorry to be pessimistic about this kind of stuff, but it's the thing that was really discomforting I've been in meetings where it was just the presence of God was there. There was a holiness in the meeting. There was a reverence in the meeting that went beyond description, beyond understanding. That was not in that meeting at all. Now, I'm not talking about Asbury right now. I'm talking about times when God was breaking out in a movement, in a group. Kind of a second chapter of Acts type of experience type thing. That was not happening down there. God was doing things just kind of in spite of what was going on up on the stage. Because people were there to seek him. And the people who were there just to seek him were being touched. But it had nothing to do with what was going on up on the stage. In fact, at one point, the second day I was there, we went back over to the meetings and things were going on, and that evening, there were speakers during the day and meetings going on all day long and stuff happening. But then, of course, the big guns would come out in the evenings. And that evening, there's this one girl, this one lady up on stage, She's sitting down with all these other people there. And I found myself during this, like everybody was kind of singing and doing things and the worship was going on. And I found my finger kind of pointing at this lady going, what is she doing up there? Why is she up there? She never said anything. She had kind of this weird look on her face. She seemed to be cynical, and I don't know any other way to describe the facial look she had on her. She wasn't happy about what was happening. She wasn't engaged in what was happening there. And earlier that day, I think it was probably because I'd seen her earlier that day, there was some sense of security. You had to have a certain badge to walk through certain areas and like the group, you know. And we were kind of standing around this one area, and I saw her walk up to this one area where she, you know, were getting into kind of it's a pass to go wherever you were going. Well, the security people were there, and she kind of held up her badge and showed it to them, kind of stuck it in her face and kind of just dropped it. She, of course, it was hanging around her neck. So she picked it up like she was kind of shuffling her feet, like she was tired of this whole thing, and she just kind of dropped it back down, and she kept on walking through. She didn't even slow down. She just kind of picked it up, showed it to him, and just dropped it back down. Like she was just too cool for school. She's too important. Oh, like I've got to show you my badge to go wherever I want to go. You could tell that was the gal that was up front that I was like, why is she even there? What is she doing here? Who is this lady? Well, I'm not going to talk about why this whole revival ended. Let's just say it had something to do with that lady. And you kind of want to push against some of the religiosity, which I think was what the leader of this revival thing was trying to do, trying to be a little bit outside the box. At one point, I think he kicked someone in the stomach who had supposedly someone had some kind of an ulcer or some kind of problem, cancerous, something was going on in their stomach, and he kicked him in the stomach. It's just one of those things. It's like, okay, well, there have been some testimonies of people who have done that kind of thing and people were healed. In this case, that did not happen, by the way. This guy was not healed. He ended up in the hospital. The whole thing behind the scenes was falling apart, and people didn't recognize it. Well, I could go on and on about this whole thing. There were some people. In fact, there were some people who were elders, basically, who were there, elders of churches that I was asking questions of, and I asked them about some other people as well, some other people who were supposedly prophetic people in the faith, and the answers I got from them were not very comforting. They actually didn't know the whole story, or that the story that they were telling was like, that's not what happened with this guy. When I asked a question about a certain individual, and the guy responded with, well, he was involved in this or that. I was like, no, he was involved in something much worse than that. But I didn't say it out loud. All I did was say, that's not the story I heard. And in fact, it's not the story that he told, that he confessed to from his own mouth. I appreciate the fact that you're trying to cover a little bit, but that's not necessarily healthy to do that in some circumstances. And in this one, it was not. And it started to make me wonder. I wasn't trying to gossip about the guy. I wanted to talk truthfully about what was going on. So I just left it there. But it told me a lot about this particular elder individual. So, I digress. Once again, as I bring the show to a close, I'm going to try to bring the show to a close this time, really for real this time, because I'm way over time. So tomorrow morning, the show will go on, hopefully earlier. I'll have a little bit of an earlier show tomorrow morning. I have a lot to do tomorrow. Next couple days, I'm going to be really, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I'm going to be very, extremely, extremely busy. I've got a lot of projects I got to work on top of some studying I have to do. I have to learn some new things for this new position I'm getting, so to do all that stuff. But in the meantime, folks, bless what's going on down in Asbury College. Young folks who are making commitments to life and experiencing the presence of God, hopefully, in new and fresh ways. Pray for our leaders. God bless everybody. Have a great week.